Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. We're all looking for ways to make an impact at work, but not all of us are skilled in visual design. Canva helps you get your point across, simply and beautifully. It's easy to design Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos. You start with a designer-made template and customize it with your content. Plus, add graphics, charts, and more from Canva's massive media library. Whatever department you work in, Canva is perfect for any task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work. This episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hears from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here. The American red squirrel comes as advertised, somewhat. Found in the Rocky Mountains, parts of Alaska, southern and central Canada, the Great Lakes region, and the northeastern United States, this rodent is as American and Canadian as it gets. True to its common name, the animal does have some rusty red fur. Yet the American red squirrel does certain things that may surprise you. We're talking nest raiding, bird eating, and premeditated infanticide. It's a squirrel-eat-squirrel world out there. Zoologists have tallied up more than 200 distinct squirrel species, from the African pygmy squirrel to the Indian giant squirrel. If you live in the eastern or midwestern United States, then you're probably most familiar with the eastern gray squirrel. Both Kentucky and North Carolina recognize the eastern gray as their official state mammal. While all white and all black individuals aren't unheard of in the eastern gray, these squirrels tend to be gray-furred with light underbellies. Contrast this with the American red squirrel. It's got a light underbelly as well, but we think you'll agree that the backside is more vibrant. Red-brown to red-gray fur covers the head, tail, and back, along with most of the available skin on all four legs. You might notice black stripes running down each flank. When present, these lines form a boundary between some of the darker hairs on top and lighter ones coating the belly. Like the eastern gray, the American red squirrel has a ring of white fur around both eyes. Eastern gray squirrels grow to about 15 to 20 inches, that's 40 to 50 centimeters long. American reds are about two-thirds that size, measuring between 11 and 14 inches, that's 28 and 36 centimeters, from twitching snout to bushy tail. But don't mistake the American red squirrel for some timid little pushover. On the contrary, this is one aggressive rodent. Red squirrels are notorious for raiding bird feeders. In the process, they won't hesitate to chase away eastern grays, but despite their size disadvantage. Same-species encounters can also get testy. By and large, red squirrels live alone. At just 9 to 11 weeks old, they'll begin to stake out territories covering up to 8 full acres. That's just over 3 hectares. And not all territories are fully private. Red squirrels living in New York State have been known to share portions of their stomping grounds with their neighbors. And a mother squirrel in poor health might surrender some real estate to her offspring. Nevertheless, in the vast majority of cases, American red squirrels do not tolerate intruders. Like a lot of mammals, the squirrels use scents to help mark their territories. Uninvited guests are met with a hostile buzzing noise. Sometimes the owner of the turf will shake its tail and stamp its feet to make itself more threatening. The squirrels are quite vocal around predators, too. Barks and other sounds act as alarm calls raised when they see a dangerous carnivore. And they have enemies to spare. Foxes, wolves, weasels, lynx, coyotes, crows, birds of prey, and timber rattlesnakes all hunt this squirrel in the wild. Granted, red squirrels do their fair share of hunting as well. Young birds sometimes fall prey to the tree-climbing rodents, as do unhatched bird eggs, and insects. Red squirrels will devour baby snowshoe hares when the chance arises. But they're omnivores. Mushrooms are a favorite treat. Sometimes these require a bit of prep work. Red squirrels have been known to pluck mushrooms at ground level and then hang them out to dry on tree branches before chowing down. Sap, tree bark, fruits, and flowers also factor into the red squirrel's diet. However, seeds are their main source of food. The species typically lives in coniferous and deciduous forests. In such places, it's easy to find conifer cones loaded with rodent-friendly seeds. So, the red squirrels living there tend to keep lots of these cones in storage spots called middens. A midden can take the form of an underground hiding spot or a heap of cones lying beside a tree trunk. American red squirrels are both a blessing and a curse for the trees that sustain them. In the negative column, they can cause serious damage to trees by stripping their bark away. Overharvesting cones is another potential problem. Yet the squirrels are also really good at spreading those cones around. They don't always recover middens after building them up, which leaves the cone seeds to germinate and grow. Food caches are a wintertime necessity for many American red squirrels, as the species does not hibernate. But ironically, bountiful harvests can spell doom for newborn red squirrels. White spruce trees produce a greater than average number of cones in certain years, which botanists call mast years. During a mast year, female red squirrels are more likely to have 2 litters of pups instead of just 1, which gives male squirrels a horrifying opportunity. In 2018, the journal Ecology published a study documenting sexually selected infanticide in American red squirrels. Early one mast year, the authors observed several wild males slaughtering newborns fathered by their rivals. The tactic is intended to make mother squirrels reproductively available again, and it works. After a female's first litter is killed, the murderous male can move in and sire his own pups with her. Funny how that never came up in the old screwy squirrel cartoons. Today's episode is based on the article, "The American Red Squirrel is Small, Territorial, and Aggressive," on HowStuffWorks.com, written by Mark Mancini. BrainStuff is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with HowStuffWorks.com and is produced by Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts. or wherever you get your podcasts.